I'd like to invite up both Rebecca and Emily to begin our service with the eulogy.
Good morning. Thank you all so much for being here. My name is Becky Andrews. I am Len's oldest daughter. Before I start the eulogy, I just wanted to, can you still hear me? Yes. Invite you to join us afterwards at Ivar's Salmon House immediately following the service, just to remember Len and get together. So thank you so much. My dad was quite a guy, passionate, loving, and devoted. He held strong opinions. I knew not to ever get him started on the tragedy of the Baltimore Colts departing for Indianapolis under the cover of darkness. Yeah, he could never be a Ravens fan. And while he loved a good conversation, he demonstrated his values primarily through action. Above all, he was devoted to his family, me, my mom, Emily, our children and partners, as well as his extended family of nieces, nephews, cousins, godchildren, in-laws, aunts, and uncles. I describe my dad as passionate, and when I use this word, I think about the fullness of his life. When I was a kid, his passion for science and his love of all things French was inescapable. On his commute to work every day, he faithfully, if futilely, listened to French lessons on cassette tape, never quite cracking the language. When my sister and I were 6 and 8, the entire family went to France, where he was attending a conference. He took me again when I was 16 on a father-daughter trip, and I've gone back many times, including last summer, and I will go again this summer. And although I can no longer speak the language, despite taking it through college, he passed on both the love of all things French and the inability to speak it to me. He loved science and the stars. I remember sitting in a field near our house in Massachusetts in March of 1986, searching for Halley's Comet in the sky. And decades later, waiting in our backyard in Seattle with 3 very eager little boys, waiting for the partial solar eclipse. He read wildly dry books on physics, chemistry, and astronomy through his retirement, and I don't think I would have survived high school physics without him. He encouraged me, tutored me, cheered me on to the point that I, ever so briefly, considered being a physics major in college, but English eventually won out. My dad lived his core value of love through his actions. He showed up and helped out, whether that was working on the Wi-Fi system at Woodland Park Presbyterian, driving around Seattle, visiting clients through St. Vincent de Paul, or picking up the local hitchhiker Kenny and getting him where he needed to go in Metro West Boston. He modeled generosity and care. Many of you here probably know him through his community and volunteer work, a foundational part of his life throughout my childhood and until the very end. And most importantly, my dad was devoted to his family. He and my mom were married for nearly 56 years, moving from Cleveland to Phoenix, Boston, and finally Seattle, entirely my fault. And they traveled the world together after Emily and I left home, visiting almost every continent and coming home full of stories, and on one memorable river cruise through France, COVID-19. My cousins who are here can attest to the time he spent at holiday gatherings, grilling them, or rather engaging them on school, sports, hobbies, all of their plans for the rest of their lives. He loved to visit them, regularly returning to the East Coast in Phoenix to see friends, cousins, nieces, and nephews. He was the great connector, keeping us apprised of the goings-on of extended family around the country. And with my mom, moved both my grandfather and his aunt, my great-aunt Helen, to Seattle so they could be closer to them, visiting nearly daily until their deaths at 103 and 106 years old, respectively. He was a devoted grandfather, keeping up with Maggie, Colin, and Elliot, attending baseball, soccer, and lacrosse games, conducting science experiments, and with my mom, taking Colin and Elliot on many trips over the years. My dad was not a guy who cared about fashion. He was happiest in grubby khakis, a fraying college sweatshirt, and a bucket hat. But he lived a life full of community he treasured, playing golf, going to church, checking in, and staying connected. He modeled for me 2 of my most important values: community and connection. He showed me that a truly rich life is one that includes a lot of fun and a lot of service, a lot of reading and a lot of relationship, a lot of red wine and a lot of laughs. He was a hoot, and I miss him so much. Love you, Dad.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm Emily, Andrew's, Len's youngest daughter. My dad, Leonard Andrews, loved life. The big things, traveling the world, renting a house for vacation, bringing all his family together. And the little things, a pinwheel pastry from Larson's, looking at the stars, and way, way too much butter on his bread. He loved family. He loved to visit, write to, talk to all of his family. His brother, nieces and nephews, his cousins, second cousins, third cousins, it really didn't matter how distant. He especially loved all the kids in his family. He loved to chat with the teenagers and ask them about their classes, crack jokes with the little ones, and read with anyone who was willing. He was an enthusiastic grandfather to Colin, Elliot, and Maggie, always excited to visit, ask questions, and learn more about their lives. He loved being a father, supportive and always involved. When I was in elementary school, he used to visit to teach science lessons and volunteer. The other third graders and I would howl at how big he was in the lunch line, how small the lunch tray was in his hands, and I would feel so special that he was there. Throughout the years, he was always so invested in me and my life. He loved to ask questions, wrestle with problems, and celebrate successes. He loved to laugh, sometimes laugh so hard he couldn't breathe. Christmas after Christmas, at his brother's dinner table in Virginia, he would listen to my hilarious cousins, some of whom are here today, crack jokes, and he would laugh so hard he would turn purple. He was joyful and funny and had a smile that could just make you giggle. He loved strangers, people in need, people he had just met or barely knew. One of my last visits to Seattle, he took me to a meeting as part of his St. Vincent de Paul Society work. We sat with a mother with twin 4-year-old girls who was homeless and living in a hotel. He took the time to talk with her kids, to pass along funds from St. Vincent de Paul, and I'm sure some of his own mixed in, and presents for the girls. When I first moved to D.C., I lived in an up-and-coming neighborhood, which was sadly had a gauntlet of people asking for money between the metro and my apartment. By the time he walked me home, his wallet was empty, having quietly and without hesitation given money to every single person who asked. His only regret was that he ran out of cash before the last few people asked and before we reached my door. He loved parties, get-togethers, dinners. With my mom, he would roll out the red carpet for friends and family. Steak, lobster, crab cakes, red wine. The price you paid was the paparazzi-like following. His camera in tow and his obsession with capturing every moment on film. I once asked him what he would do when he retired. What would he do once me and my sister left the house? He said he would be happy with my mom and comforted by his thousands and thousands of slides. What a gift he's left us, I didn't realize at the time. All of the photos of every stage of our life captured beautifully. And thankfully, thousands of photos of him. I love my dad so much, and he loved us. He loved life. He loved me, my sister, and my mom deeply. I will miss him forever.
My friends, please stand for the opening hymn.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My friends, my name is Father Colin Parrish. I'm the pastor here at St. Benedict, along with St. John and St. Alphonsus. I've had the privilege of being able to do funerals for men like Len, men and women like men, these kind of spiritual heavyweights, as it were, in our parishes that like have a gravitas to them that's just coming from a full humanity. And so today, you know, we're coming together to be able to honor him, to pray for him, and to eventually basically ask him to pray for us. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who through the ending of present things opened up the beginning of things to come, grant, we pray, that the soul of your servant Len may be led by you to attain the inheritance of eternal redemption. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Let us now be seated while we listen to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. A reading from the prophet of the book Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he saved us." The word of the Lord.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. God is my shepherd, so nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk by the quiet waters of peace. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Gently you raise me and heal my weary soul. You lead me in pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Though I should wander the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. Your rod and your staff, my comfort and my hope. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. You have set me a banquet of love in the face of hatred, crowning me with love beyond my power to hold. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Surely your kindness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of my God forevermore. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, no one lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother? Or you, why do you look down on your brother? For we shall all stand before judgment, the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us shall give an accounting of himself to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Down from heaven, says the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Also, I want to have a warm welcome for all our brothers and sisters that are from Woodland Park Presbyterian. I'm glad you're here. It's beautiful. I know that, you know, Len was a part of your life as well, just as much as ours. And so I'm glad that we're just together to be able to be with him in his presence, as it were. I opened the Mass saying, you know, I've had the privilege of doing these funerals for these guys that are kind of these heavyweights, you know, and I always remember them. I always remember these guys' names. Joe Navone, you know, Bill Kirch, you know, Len Andrews. I'm always struck by something about them, and it's about the fact that they really lived out of something. They had themselves, their roots planted somewhere in someone, and this changed them, right? And it was progressive over time, right? You know, I'm sure that your dad, your husband, right, was the same man when you first met him, right, or you first started remembering him, and then he grew, right, layer by layer, bit by bit, just as an acorn becomes an oak tree, right? It just developed and matured and became beautiful. What always struck me about him was that, you know, Len was a man of communion. What do I mean by that? Is that he always wanted people to have a unity with him, to have a unity with him, a closeness with him. I'm always struck when I see individuals like this because it comes from somewhere. Because I know myself, right? And I'm sure all of us go through different periods of our life where we don't necessarily want unity with people, right? We don't want to be with people. We want our walls up, right? Well, our hearts kind of look out over the top of the wall waiting for the next incursion, right, to happen. But then you meet these men, these women like Len. Where's that ability to have unity, communion, life together with come from? First off, it's knowing that you're loved. It's knowing that you're loved. The first aspect of our life is to know that we're children, that we're sons and daughters, that we're wanted and chosen, that we're brought to life for a reason, and that that reason is good, and that therefore we are good. Despite everything in our life, we are good. And it's also this maturity that develops over time from there, that if I am chosen and wanted and given as a gift to the world, then my life is not my own. My life is not my own. It makes my heart porous towards others. My heart gets to pour itself out as it's being poured into, but also that it gets people inside of it. Other people's hearts come close. They too are able to kind of sink their roots into this kind of person's heart. because their heart has an everlasting source of life in it. And that's one of the things about Len, is that when you would talk to him and just be with him, you began to realize very quickly, as long as you were attuned and open to it, that there was a source of life at the bottom of his heart that wasn't his, and that he was very much aware of that presence. It's striking, striking. And this is what built him to be the man for others, to be the man for you, the man for me. I still remember the meeting he had with me where he came to tell me that he had cancer, right? And every time when I hear that, right, as a pastor, especially in front of an individual like him, with this stature, right, the stature, I always get pissed off. I get pissed, right? Because this is the kind of guy that I would have wanted to have a beer with pretty much every day, right? This is the kind of guy that would have been amazing to hang out with on a daily basis. Again, one aspect of being a man of communion, a woman of communion in this context, is joy. Joy. That all of life becomes interesting, right? I can't remember, he's a chemist, right? Yeah. Okay, cool, right? Now, for me, I only like chemistry because of geology. Past that, I don't care, right? But I'm always fascinated by people when they find something, right? And they go deep into it. This interest in life, I don't take for granted. I think this is and this joy and this taste for the life, right, that we have, that, again, comes from this knowledge that I'm a son or a daughter, I'm wanted, my life is on my own, and all of the life that I have in front of me is also a gift. So I can have joy in front of it. I can have real interest in it. In Latin, the word interest is really is cool. It basically means to bring something close, right? That's what it translates to. To bring something close to one's face, to look at it with this kind of joy, zeal. Again, when we meet a true Christian, they have a zest for life, a gusto. And finally, the other thing is that this knowledge of being a son, a daughter, while one's life is not their own, but there's a joy in life, this overflows into acts of just charity, right? He knew his life wasn't his own, and therefore his wallet wasn't his own, right? It's beautiful, right? Because all money is a placeholder for my own life, right? It's just a placeholder. It's things that I do to show my love. It's the thing that shows my love and who I am. And so he could just walk down this beautiful memory that you gave to us, Emily. So I'm just walking down the street of D.C., just like, what freedom! Real charity flows from this freedom. The reason why I'm not charitable, and we're not charitable at certain points, is just because we're not free. We're not free. Charity comes from freedom and from love. And so he is able to be who he was. I was telling the servers, this is where I'm going to conclude. I was telling the servers earlier that, we basically, we come here and we pray for him, right? I think it's really important to maybe stress this a little bit. The thing is that when a loved one passes, no matter who they are, somebody who is great or somebody who is small, doesn't matter. There's always a desire in our hearts, right, to have contact, to be impacted. Well, the thing is that we have a way of doing this, okay? And my friends from Woodland Park Presbyterian, you can bracket this next statement, okay? I get this. It's no problem. but in purgatory is a beautiful gift to us, okay? And the reason I say that is because it's a way that we are able to stay in relationship with the one that we love. Because all purgatory is just the place where I allow my own heart to become even more porous, right, to the Lord. Right? No, we don't get out of our life without some level of woundedness, right? Whether it's traumas or trials, our own sins, we don't get out of life without those, right? And we need a place where we can let down our burdens, right? Because it's in letting go of the burdens that we have that we're able just simply to have our own, our arms open to the Father's embrace and be embraced fully. So it's one way. And the other thing about it is this, is that this desire of ours to remain in relationship, to experience this love, itself tells us something. That this person's not dead. You can't love something that is not real. You can't love or desire something that does not exist or is not possible. We have a desire to be with them. And this desire is an indication that relationship is still there. Actually, and it will become more intensive. All right? It's going to become more intensive with him. Because Jesus is here saying, I will go and bring you with me. Right? And where I am, you will be. He says this later in this narrative. Well, the Lord loves Len. And the Lord made us to be friends with him. Right? I would think that the Lord is also a man of communion, as it were, that he wants to bring everybody with him. So wherever he goes, he brings his friends. And that would mean, that would stand for me to say that if God is present everywhere, then maybe Len is too, that maybe he's in relationship with you right now, speaking to you, praying for you on your behalf, loving you through the heart of the Father. It's the Father's grace flowing through him. We have to be able to recognize that Jesus and his sacrifice, his reconciliation of humanity to himself, to God, made it so relationship never dies. And this is the resurrection. So we're here to also be reminded of that, that our desire to be, stay in relationship is a sign of the Lord's grandeur. And his beauty, and his ability to be present and to maintain life and grow it, even in the most sad moments of our life, when we have loss, the loss of Len. There's still life present right now. Still life present. And I would wager that Len wants you to know that for yourself as well, just as much as he knows it at this moment. With that, my friends, I'd like to invite up Reverend Joseph for our prayers of the faithful.
Brothers and sisters, let us stand and offer our prayers and petitions before the Heavenly Father who loves us.
That all people who mourn find consolation and peace through those around them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
May world leaders strive for lasting peace and justice and heal the wounds of division among all people. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We are gathered here in faith and love to pray for our brother Len. Strengthen our hope that we may live as spirit-filled people. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may give a place in the kingdom of heaven to all the faithfully departed. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we who gather here today stay ready to comfort all who grieve, suffer grief and loss. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the memories of loved ones who have died lighten the sorrow of their passing. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you with the Son and the Holy Spirit are a communion of love. Welcome us always into this communion, and if it be your holy will, answer these prayers which we have put before you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the preparation of the altar. Just follow him.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God. And
brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. Look favorably on our offerings, O Lord, so that your departed servant Len may be taken up into glory with your Son, and whose great mystery of love we are all united through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. In him the hope of blessed resurrection has dawned, that those saddened by the certainty of dying might be consoled by the promise of immortality to come. Indeed, for your faithful Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when this earthly dwelling turns to dust, an eternal dwelling is made ready for them in heaven. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim.
Holy, holy, holy,
of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread. And giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you in need of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with Saint Benedict, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. Remember your servant Len, whom you have called from this world to yourself. Grant that he who is united with your Son in a death like his may also be one with him in his resurrection, when from the earth he will raise up in the flesh those who have died, and transform our lowly body after the pattern of his own glorious body. To our departed brothers and sisters too, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, when you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. For seeing you, our God, as you are, we shall be like you for all the ages, and praise you without end through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
Savior's command, formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Just a note about communion, because Len had such broad friendships, right? I know that some of us here are not Catholic. One of the things we do is we ask that non-Catholics please do not receive communion. The reason being is because when I say the body of Christ and you respond with amen, you're assenting to all the Holy Roman Catholic Church teaches and believes. We know that some of us just aren't there, and that's okay. We don't want to force your hand to do violence to your conscience. So what we ask is you please refrain from communion for that reason. But what you can do is if you want, you can come into the communion line and I can give you a blessing in the way that you can indicate that. Just by putting your arms across your chest like this, and I'll give you a blessing.
Drink this cup, come to me and never
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that your servant Len, for whom we have celebrated this Paschal Sacrament, may pass over to a dwelling place of light and peace through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just as a reminder, the reception is at Ivor's Salmon House down on the lake. Beautiful. That's a great location. That's one of my favorite haunts. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Thanks be to God.
From singing.